today as we come to the table.
I would say Genesis 6 and 7, a great flood. Because we know now scientifically that if everything was covered quickly by water, it would have been preserved all the way around the earth. Again, lines up perfectly with what we know and call science. And again, science, as I've said before, slowly catching up with the Bible. And again, here, this is just more evidence of it. It says the discovery was apparently made when researchers were forced to break open the leg bone of the T-Rex fossil to lift it in a helicopter. Dr. Schweitzer has been cited as saying that inside the bone, the blood vessels were still flexible, and that in some instances, you could actually squeeze out their contents.
We all have at some point in our life been fascinated over the fact that dinosaurs were real. We tend to believe what the world tells us about them. You may seem to believe everything the world has to say about dinosaurs, even in the movies. But does the world know what the Bible has to say about them living on Earth? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark tells you what the Word of God has to say about dinosaurs. He tells you how dinosaurs were actually herbivorous animals who were huge in size, but were not as furious as the world describes. Let us know more what Pastor Mark has to say about them as we dig into the time of God's creation. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
And notice it says in verse 22, and God blessed them. Now, I've never noticed that before. That grabbed my attention. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Now, this is interesting to me because notice God blessed the fish and the birds. We don't think about God blessing the fish and the birds, do we? Do you think about God blessing the animals? I mean, God created them and said, hey, bless them. Now, I don't know what that all encompassed. I know he gave them the ability to reproduce and to fill the earth, but he also gave them a blessing. He put a blessing upon them. And I find that interesting because, again, I believe we as Christians are also to be a blessing to God's creation. Now, there's a misbalance here that's often done. People begin, as it says in Romans, it tells us that many people worship the creature rather than the creator. And that, of course, is in error. We're never to put, God nowhere in Scripture puts animals above man. You know, it's amazing when you go to Maine, if you were to go and catch a Maine lobster and say you love lobster and you could do that, or you go get one, if you find out that that lobster is pregnant and you don't let it go free, you could, is my understanding, I know you can be fined, but maybe even worse. You know, possible jail time for things like that, but certainly a fine either way. And yet, you know, if you go to an eagle's nest and take the egg or take a feather, then you can be fined for that and all these penalties they bring on you for these things. And yet, you can take a baby child and terminate its life. And people say not a word. And so you see what happens is oftentimes people and man on his own without God begins to worship the creature rather than the creator and will actually take the creature and elevate it above the creator and elevate it above the word of God. We're not to do that. But at the same time, I do find it interesting that the Bible says that we're to take care of our animals, that we're to love them. They're a blessing. God has blessed them. And again, specifically speaking of the fish and birds, I don't know that he would leave out the others, but I find that interesting that God blessed them. You know, it says in Proverbs 12:10, a righteous man regards the life of his animal. But the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Did you know you can tell a righteous man by how he treats his animals? Isn't that interesting? God is so good. We think about God and his love for us, but I think about God and his love for the, you know, when you look at, again, I'm not getting on the animal thing. I mean, I again, man is held above that. And I think there's a detriment out there because we have all this worship of the earth, you know, the earth day and all this worship of animals and people actually lift them up. So I don't want to go too much on this because obviously man is above that. But when you look at these cute little animals, I mean, sometimes you see these cute little things, man, what a sweet little animal that is. God does that too. You know, everything he created has a purpose. The Bible says that not even a sparrow falls to the ground. And so again, it shows us that we need to be mindful of these things as well. Again, not putting them over man, but to be mindful of them as God has indeed put his blessing on them too. Notice he goes on here in verse 23 and says, so the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So now we come to a close here at the end of the fifth day. God has created again the great sea creatures, the things in the ocean, the birds of the air. And now this day comes to a close and it now fades away. And now we fade into day six. And now again, as we get into day six, we look at land animals and man. Again, we're going to cover land animals today and we'll look at man next week. But notice he goes right on into it. Notice what it says here in verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, again, I point these things out not to be repetitious, but notice here that God states the land animals were created good from the beginning. There's no mention here of them being partially begun or some kind of ooze that would eventually grow into something. He says, no, I created them. They're complete. They're good. They didn't evolve into anything. And this brings us to a very interesting question. Again, if you believe the word of God, and if you hold God's word as highly as God does, that is above even his very name, he says, then it brings us honestly as Christians here, if we believe the word of God, that God says on this same day he created every single land creature there is, it brings up a question I think that oftentimes many commentators even avoid. And I think we as Christians sometimes stay away from it because we might feel intimidated by what is being taught out there as modern science or what modern science is teaching as fact, which we know is not. But again, that is the question obviously comes up. Mark, what about the dinosaurs? You mean to tell me that man and dinosaurs lived on the earth at the same time, that they roamed the earth at the same time? I don't mean to tell you any such thing, but God does. Because God says here in his word that on the sixth day, he created every single land creature there is. Now, I have a choice. I can either say, Well, he didn't create yabbits. That's something he didn't create. However, he did create dinosaurs. And he did create them with man. And again, I believe the scripture not only bears that out here, it bears it out in other places that we're going to look at in just a moment. But again, you say this, but Mark, hasn't science proven? Let me just stop right there and say, that's what I used to think until I began to do my own homework. And guess what I have found out? And I'm not scared at all to delve into science in it because I have found out science has not proven any such thing. And I used to be intimidated thinking, well, it's been proven and you can show it scientifically. And now I found out, no, you can't. But they tell you that and they want you to believe it because it's a way to deny God and to somehow say that all this just happened rather than God creating it. Now, you might say, but wait a minute, we had dinosaurs walking with man. I mean, what about these things? They come up and they eat your head off. As the Bible tells us, it sounds like a kid in the backyard, doesn't it? You can tell I've been there, right? I still shouldn't do that at this age. But anyway, but the bottom line is, here's the bottom line, guys. The Bible says when God created them, they were vegetarians. T-Rex was a vegetarian. Hey, I'm an apple. You know, I don't know what it was like. But it wasn't until after the fall. And it wasn't until after the flood that all these things began to turn. And God never created animals to attack animals and animals to attack people and all these things. This is all a result of the fall. Now, again, we're not going to say that that means that you can be a vegetarian. We're going to get into that later when we get into man. You can be. You're welcome to. But there's nothing wrong in being a meat eater. I mean, some of you guys are T-Rexes right now. I know that. And you're meat eaters out there. I'm one of you. And there's nothing wrong in that. And God blesses that. And your wife's going, yeah, that describes him. He's a T-Rex, all right. You know, he devours, you know. But the bottom line is that there's nothing wrong in that. We're going to talk about the way God designed it. But originally, God designed that. All creatures, man and animals, were originally vegetarians. And so what that means is that the dinosaurs weren't walking around biting people's heads off. And again, after the fall, and again, after all these things began to happen, we know they quickly became extinct. And so therefore, they weren't really that much of a threat to man, except for a short period of man's history. Now, as far as dinosaurs go, there's a lot of different theories. It is something I'll throw out there just for fun for you. One of the things that confused scientists is why dinosaurs had such small lungs. And when we get to the flood, we'll talk about this a little bit more, because the size of that animal to get the oxygen that it needed to supply its body, some scientists say it was impossible for some of those dinosaurs to have done that. With our current oxygen levels in the atmosphere, they couldn't have lived. Well, what's interesting is, and we talked about this, the canopy that used to surround the earth when you were here, we're going to be talking about when we get to the flood of Noah. Scientists say that if there were a canopy like that, we would have had a much higher oxygen level in our atmosphere. substantially higher. And by the way, now inside of rocks, they're finding, and apparently rocks, certain rocks hold oxygen levels from different degrees. I don't understand that. Again, not scientifically, but in the center of some rocks, we find a much higher level of oxygen levels, which scientists say proves that at one time in Earth's history, we had a much higher oxygen saturation in our atmosphere than we do now. And by the way, you think about the healing properties of oxygen. What do the ball players do today when they get hurt? Did you know in the locker rooms they have oxygen masks? And the ball players go in and they breathe oxygen, higher levels of oxygen, because they now know that higher levels of oxygen in the atmosphere brings healing faster to your body. Did you know that? So the athletes have picked up on this, sports has picked up on it, and now they actually have their athletes breathing the oxygen so they can heal faster and be ready for next week's game, so to speak. Well, guys, can you imagine when God created the healing properties and having more oxygen? And now not only would we heal faster, how much easier it would be to breathe and all these different aspects. What's amazing is that with the higher oxygen levels, a dinosaur would not have needed big lungs. And so the question of why their rib cage and their lung capacity is so small is answered in understanding that used to, there was a higher oxygen level before the flood, which is easily explained scientifically, and they wouldn't have needed as much oxygen to survive. And so again, when the flood came, what happened to the dinosaurs? Mark, what happened? Well, guess what? The oxygen levels in our atmosphere dropped. And guess who couldn't breathe good enough to supply their bodies anymore? And guess who slowly began to die out and now are extinct? So you see, when you begin to understand these things, you begin to delve into it, there's nothing intimidating or fearful about it. It's very understandable, and it lines up perfectly with what we call science today. Now, again, I'm not saying that's the only explanation for what's happened, but I'm saying that's definitely one. And I just want to say, as we get into this whole thing about proving scientifically that the earth is millions of years old or that dinosaurs lived millions of years before man, science does not support it. And as a matter of fact, there's a recent discovery that puts science into question on that. And you haven't heard much about it on your news, and I doubt you will. You may see something about it on one of your documentaries or History Channel type reports, but I wanted to share this with you. This is just in the last few months this has taken place. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's just been in the last few months, but I ran across this article. And it's a discovery of a dinosaur bone, a Tyrannosaurus rex. It was discovered by an evolutionist named Dr. Mary Schweitzer. And notice I said she is an evolutionist. She does not believe in the Bible or creation story. She believes that we evolved. What happened was, and I'll read the article after I give you some background, she found a T-Rex, and so in order to get the T-Rex into the helicopter from where they found it, they had to break one of its bones. Now, you know that must have broken her heart. You know, somebody finding a T-Rex to break its bones, you want to keep it intact, but they realized they couldn't get it in the helicopter to get it back to the museum to re-put it together if they didn't break the bone. So they broke the bone, and they found an amazing discovery, and let me just read it. The article is entitled, "Stunning Blow to Evolutionists' Age-Old Story About Dinosaurs." It says, with the discovery of a dinosaur bone containing soft fibrous tissue and complete blood vessels along with red blood cells, yet another major blow has been dealt to the evolutionary belief that dinosaurs lived and died out 65 to 70 million years ago. This bone belonging to a Tyrannosaurus rex has provided additional strong evidence that dinosaurs have been around in relatively recent times. For the tissue and blood cells should have dissolved long before millions of years. In other words, here's what scientists say. They say that, you know, we know this. Cartilage, soft tissue, red blood cells, all those things. If you take something and kill it and it dies, those are the first things to go. They dry up, they shrivel up, they evaporate, they disappear. And then after that, the bones begin to slowly decay and the bones turn back to dust unless they're preserved in some type of fossilization process. But even in the fossilization process, there is no way, and scientists will say, at least up to this point they have, there's no way that red blood cells and tissues and blood vessels could last for millions of years. And the article goes on, it says, this remarkable discovery by evolutionist Dr. Mary Schweitzer offers immensely powerful support to the idea that dinosaur fossils are indeed not millions of years old, but were mostly fossilized under some catastrophic condition. I would say Genesis 6 and 7, a great flood, because we know now scientifically that if everything was covered quickly by water, it would have been preserved all the way around the earth. Again, lines up perfectly with what we know and call science. And again, science, as I've said before, slowly catching up with the Bible. And again, here, this is just more evidence of it. It says the discovery was apparently made when researchers were forced to break open the leg bone of the T-Rex fossil to lift it in a helicopter. Dr. Schweitzer has been cited as saying that inside the bone, the blood vessels were still flexible, and that in some instances, you could actually squeeze out their contents. Now, it doesn't take a scientist to tell you that a dinosaur bone could have no flexible material after even thousands of years. So what is amazing to me is that, and guys, listen, when you begin to see your shows come out on this, it's fairly new. I don't know. I doubt it'll be on the news and on the papers. There's not going to be much said about it that way. They keep these things pretty quiet. There'll probably be some documentary, again, on some channel, whether it's History Channel or whatever the case might be, Discovery Channel. But here's what I found. Every time God puts the evidence right in the face of an archaeologist, it's almost like the one I was reading yesterday who said, if I didn't know better, you would think this just happened instantaneously. And he puts the evidence right in their face. Instead of that, they look through the lens of what they make themselves believe, and they change all the facts around it to say, you know what, here, it fits our story. Watch what's going to happen. Although it is known in science that no red blood vessels or any of these things could survive more than thousands of years at the most, I guarantee you what's going to happen. You watch the headlines. If you see the documentary, no profit, but I'm going to tell you what it's going to say because I've seen these guys over the years. Amazing new discovery. What? We now know that red blood vessels and fibrous tissue and red blood cells can survive millions of years. An amazing thing. Be ready for it, because that's the only thing they can say. Because if they don't say that, they're going to have to say, maybe we're wrong. Maybe there's some other explanation. Guys, we have the explanation lined up for us in the scriptures. Genesis tells us where the dinosaurs came from and when the dinosaurs were created and the fact that man walked with them. Now, I wish I had the article, and I can't say this is fact, so don't leave her saying, Mark, this is fact. Mark said it was fact. I didn't. But there are reports now out of Turkmenistan that they have now found fossilized dinosaur and human footprints together. I still wait to verify that. Even if they don't, doesn't affect me any. I know they were. But you can imagine if that hits the papers, what that's going to be like. We'll wait and see. Stay tuned for further info. But I want to finish today because, again, I didn't want to go right on into looking at the creation of man. I thought, this is too fun, because it brings up another question, and that is this. All right, Marco, wait a minute now. If God did create the dinosaurs, I mean, these are big things. You can't just kind of, it's not like, you know, I mean, God probably said something somewhere else in the Bible about them. So where in the Bible do we see man living on the earth at the same time dinosaurs did? I believe we have that very clearly for us in Job chapter 40, and I want you to turn there now to your right. Job chapter 40. And it's right before the Psalms. If you don't find it, it's right before the Psalms. But Job chapter 40, we're going to start in verse 15, and we're going to finish the last part of Job, and then we're going to go right into chapter 41 of Job as well, because we're going to look at this whole thing in context. Remember the situation. God is now chastising and correcting Job because Job has been saying all these false things about God. And remember, we looked at one of them a couple of weeks ago where God said, Job, who do you think you are? You're telling me about me. Were you there when I created? And we talked about what a rebuke that is even to the modern day science, the things they don't know. How can they postulate? How can they just say they think it happened that way? They can't. And now we see God going on and talking to Job here in chapter 40. And he talks about, first of all, in this chapter, some huge, immense land creature. And then we're going to see when we get into chapter 41, he talks about some huge, immense sea creature and or creatures. And so let's start with the land creatures. Notice this. He says, verse 15, God speaking. Look now at the behemoth, which I have made along with you. Notice he says, I created it when I created you. Now that's key as we work through this and see what the definition of this behemoth was. Because again, your Bible, if it has some footnote, probably says some unknown, you know, large creature or some unknown large animal or something like that. Because again, they don't know. We don't know. Behemoth doesn't tell us specifically what it is, other than we know from the definition here in Job chapter 40 that it was a huge, huge creature. Now, again, the challenge is, as we read through this, I want you to challenge yourself. Is there any animal on the planet today that fits this description that was on the planet with Job in his day? And by the way, Job, as we believe, is one of the oldest books in Scripture. And so, again, this would have been a long time ago, obviously. So, but notice what he says. He eats grass like an ox. See now, his strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar. Now, I've read some commentaries that say, well, it's talking about an elephant. You ever seen an elephant's tail? Like a cedar? I mean, it's more like a little twig that kind of, you know, I mean, they're, oh, look at that thing. It's cute. I mean, you can play with it. You know, oh, hey. No, this creature has a tail like a cedar. Now, guys, picture a cedar in your mind. I had someone come up afterwards and say, well, I still believe this is probably an alligator. Guys, I know there are alligators that get up to 20 feet long, crocodiles, these huge things. You've seen, you know, the Crocodile Hunter, right? And he just wrestles these big alligators, you know, go get in your butt, your head right off, you know, and they do, you know, and it's like, you know, right? But the bottom line is, guys, listen, the entire size of these giant crocodiles we have today, what he's saying here, that's just the tail of this thing. That's just the tail. Okay? That's just like, you know, wagging. What's wagging on the other end of that cedar? Whoa! You get an idea now what's going on. Let's go on and look what this behemoth is like. The sinews of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze. His ribs like bars of iron. Doesn't describe any elephant or crocodile. I don't know. Granted, they're bigger than we are. But give me a break. Beams of bronze? Bars of iron? He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring near his sword. Surely the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the field play there. Notice this. He lies under the lotus trees and in a covert of reeds and marsh. We're designed to say the dinosaurs hung out in the marshlands. That's where they find many of the fossils today, in the marshlands, in riverbeds, and things like that. Why? They were huge. They would have needed to cool down. They would have stayed in the shade and all this stuff, the transfer of heat and all. It's exactly what God says. They're under the lotus trees. They're in the coverts of the reeds in the marsh. The lotus trees cover him with their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage. Again, we see them in the river. Yet he's not disturbed. He's confident. Though the Jordan gushes into his mouth, though he takes it into his eyes, or one pierces his nose with a snare. In other words, to him, it's no big deal. It doesn't bother him at all. Now again, he goes from this land creature, this behemoth, now he moves into this huge sea creature and or creatures that God here calls Leviathan. And notice here in chapter 41, he moves right on. Now talking land and sea, he says, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Again, if you've got a footnote in your Bible, it may say something like a large creature, identity unknown. That's what it says in mine. But let's look at the definition of this thing. Or can you snare his tongue with the line that you lower? In other words, you're going to catch him with a hook and a bob? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Or will he make a covenant with you? Or will you take him as a servant forever? In other words, can you make him your servant? Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet for him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? In other words, no, you can't. Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. I mean, whatever this is not a giant alligator. We could take spears and go to a giant alligator, and we could pierce it and kill it. I mean, even the crocodile's watching this thing, talking about him again, you know, and watching him do these huge, big things, and a bunch of guys have ropes in all directions, and he's like a crazy man on its head going, you know, watch out, bite your head right off. You know, put down these things. He's doing this whole thing. Guys, listen, whatever this creature is, you couldn't do that with. I don't care. There's not a creature on the earth that describes this. He's saying, look, you can't go and fill his skin with harpoons. You can't hit his head with fishing spears. And if you fight him, you will never do it again. Whatever this creature is, all it takes is one confrontation. I'm done. All right? Let's go on.
Our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites his chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's Word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how he brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what he's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the Questions and Comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.